Daily Millers Podcast. Het is 14 maart 2020. Dit is het bulletin van zaterdag. Daily Millers Podcast, 14 maart 2020. Dit is het bulletin van zaterdag. Pas bij het inspreken van die eerste mededeling wordt duidelijk dat mijn stem niet helemaal op orde is. Nou ja, goed, ik was toch niet van plan om een lange uitzending te maken. Ik doe alleen een aankondiging vandaag en dan heb ik enkele Engelstalige items. Dat is het voor vandaag. Ik ga ongetwijfeld volgende week verder. Nou, mijn stem doet wel erg slecht. Volgende week ga ik ongetwijfeld verder met de serie over propagatie, waar ik was blijven steken bij aflevering 2 al. Dat gaan we doen, maar het was een beetje druk de afgelopen week. En vandaag eigenlijk ook. Dan komt hij, de Amateur Radio Newsline. Dan de column van Onno. En daarna nog de ERRL, want van de week had ik de ERRL al gedaan. Maar dat was die van 6 maart, want ze waren laat. En nu komt hij van 13 maart.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2211. With a release date of Friday, March 13th, 2020. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Concerns over COVID-19 have had a global impact on amateur radio conferences and workshops. The man behind Ham Radio University becomes a silent key, and a big antenna project impacts a NASA space probe. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2211 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, amateur radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story this week is the rising worry over COVID-19 as the spread of the virus causes amateur radio organizations to reconsider their plans for major public gatherings. In the United States, one of the DXing world's foremost events, the 71st Annual International DX Convention, sponsored by the Southern California DX Club, which was to be held in Visalia, California, has been canceled. Scotland's DX Association has also postponed its GMDX convention that was to be held on the 4th of April in Stirling. In Kassel, Germany, the April 18th amateur radio event Funk.Tag was canceled. And back here in the United States, HamSci, or the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation, has canceled its in-person workshop in Pennsylvania this month, but is seeking an alternative means of holding the program. With news of cancellation and postponements elsewhere, we hear from Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
Coronavirus concerns have led to the cancellation of a number of amateur radio events in Japan, Iceland, and elsewhere. The Japan Amateur Radio League posted on its website that in compliance with government policies on public safety, the West Nippon Fair and the Tochigi Branch Ham Gathering did not take place on Sunday, March the 8th. The Chogugu Regional ARDF Competition, Saitama Chapter Meeting and Nara Branch Meeting, all scheduled for Sunday, March the 15th, were also cancelled. The Kagawa Prefectural Chapter Ham Festival in Kagawa will also not take place. It was on the calendar for Sunday, the 22nd of March. Japanese amateurs in the Nara DX Association have also postponed an Islands on the Air DX expedition to Murillo Island in the Halls Islands, citing coronavirus concerns. They announced that the trip will be rescheduled for next year or later. Meanwhile, in Iceland, the National Association of Icelandic Radio Amateurs also cancelled its winter flea market, which has traditionally drawn large crowds. It's been rescheduled for May the 3rd. And if you happen to be making contact with any VK stations during your DXing, kindly send us your QSL cards as one ply or two ply variety. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
For ongoing updates, please visit our Facebook page. Make sure to search using the hashtag ARNCOVID. A well-known major advocate for amateur radio education has become a silent key. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has that story.
Anyone who has ever attended Ham Radio University in New York has likely heard of Phil Lewis, N2MUN. It was Phil's dream to create a formal venue for amateur radio education, and that dream came to fruition 21 years ago when Ham Radio University held its first classes in North Babylon, New York. Phil, a native of Brooklyn, New York, became a silent key on March 5th. Diagnosed with cancer, he did not let illness keep him from attending a meeting 3 days earlier of the Order of Boiled Owls of New York, his local club. Phil had also been a member of the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, and from 2000 to 2002, he served as its president. In 2000, he was named Amateur of the Year in the ARRL's Hudson Division. An avid DXer, rag chewer, and contester, he also belonged to the Yankee Clipper Contest Club. He is perhaps best known as the prime mover behind Ham Radio University, which has since grown to attract a large regional attendance in the New York area. It also serves as the ARRL's New York City Long Island Section Convention and is a day for sharing technical information, trading tips, and most of all, fellowship. Phil Lewis was 72. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Everyone talks about the weather, but who's keeping an eye on it? Skywarn spotters, of course. Skywarn spotter training is being held on Wednesday, March 18th in Burlington, Massachusetts, and is being presented by Robert Macedo, KD1CY. Following the instruction, attendees become eligible to report severe weather to the National Weather Service and will be given Skywarn spotter IDs. Hams have been encouraged to attend this event, which had early registration. Registration opens to the public after the 13th of March. The volunteer program relies on the observations of nearly 290,000 trained weather spotters, many of whom are amateur radio operators. A link to the register for training appears in the printed version of this script at arnewsline.org. As March was getting underway, hams in one part of India had a particularly busy weekend with two important activities. John Williams, VK4JJW, gives us the details.
The annual Hilltopping and National Field Day is held by the Amateur Radio Society of India to encourage radio operation from beaches, hills, and other remote locations, creating everything from a simulated emergency situation to a simple social gathering with a picnic. This year's event was held on the 29th of February and the 1st of March. One of the participating groups, the Pune Hams and Amateur Radio Club, VU2PHQ, was only available for the second day, but made the most of that time, giving interested onlookers a first-hand glimpse of how effective QRP portable operations can be. They also got to see operation of an experimental CW beacon on 7005 kHz, which transmitted a signal that was copied and logged by hams across India. This was the club's second field event this year on HF and VHF. Although the club would have liked to have been part of the field day on the 29th of February too, it had another important radio mission to tend to. The club was hosting officials from the Ministry of Communication during an exam for the Amateur Station Operator Certificate. That's the exam which can qualify a candidate for a radio license. All of which means there might just be more radio operators for the next field day. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
The nearly 48,000 World War II veterans who got their training at the Buckingham Army Airfield in Florida are being honored by hams operating a special event station from March 24th through March 26th. The Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club will be on the air from the former airfield from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on those 3 days, marking the site's importance. Today, it is privately owned by the Lee County Mosquito Control District and is known as Buckingham Field. It has a proud history as a flexible gunnery training base for the United States soldiers who defended against bombers during the Second World War. QSL cards and a commemorative certificate will be available for successful contacts. Hams are preparing to transform a Tasmanian landscape in just a few weeks. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us more.
It won't be long now. The annual conference of the Wireless Institute of Australia is coming up fast. It's being held from the 8th to the 10th of May in Hobart, Tasmania, and the program will feature on the Antarctic Gateway and the promise Antarctica holds as both a research and a radio venue. The car ferry, the Spirit of Tasmania, is offering discounts for conference attendees bringing their vehicles. For questions, email the conference organising committee at wia2020conference@gmail.com. It's a big year for the WIA, even before things get rolling on Tasmania. March 11 marked the 110th anniversary of a meeting in Sydney in 1910 that eventually evolved into the WIA. The original meeting led to the creation of the Wireless Institute of New South Wales. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Don't forget that Amateur Radio Newsline is looking for a talented young amateur radio operator to recognize this year. We expect to select this year's recipient of the Young Ham of the Year Award, named to honor Newsline's late co-founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Nominations are being accepted for talented, community-conscious amateurs 18 or younger living in the U.S. or Canada. For details in this year's nomination form, visit our website, arnewsline.org. It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W4GS repeater in Conway, South Carolina, Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. It's still a work in progress, but there's a CubeSat being built with dreams of memes. Heather MB, KB3TZD, explains.
There are firsts for everything, even in the now familiar realm of CubeSats. Meet MemeSat 1, a work in progress designed to be the world's first CubeSat to transmit memes. That's right, no scientific data, no Morse code message, but memes. Those addictively appealing, infinitely shareable bits of content that young people typically enjoy most especially on social media. MemeSat 1, however, plans to do it from space, something its developers at the nonprofit letsgotospace.com, that's letsgo, the number 2, space.com, have said could probably happen next year at the earliest. The MemeSat will transmit images stored in flash memory via the 70-centimeter band for those waiting on Earth below. Hams, by the way, are also part of this scenario. The CubeSat will also be available for traditional amateur radio use with an FM repeater on UHF and VHF. Letsgotospace.com is now fundraising for the $30,000 project. Its website explains its hope of using low-Earth orbit satellites to get people of all ages excited about science, technology, engineering, and math. Founder Warren Eschpeter, an aerospace engineering undergrad at the Georgia Institute of Technology, writes on Reddit of his commitment to the cause, "We have passed the point of no return and have nowhere to go but upwards. The only thing to return to Earth ultimately will be the memes." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Hams in Portugal are hoping officials will be receptive to a list of changes they say can only benefit the amateur community. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that report.
Amateur radio organizations in Portugal have united in their efforts to formalize changes that would make operation more accessible to young people, reorder license categories, and simplify call sign reassignments where possible. A post by the Associação de Radioamadores do Litoral Alentejano notes that a submission sent by the groups to the Secretary of State asks for legislation that would exempt licensed candidates of 16 years and below from paying an exam fee, whilst granting a 25% fee discount to candidates between the ages of 17 and 25. The proposal also asks for the CEPT syllabus to be included in Portugal's amateur exams and for all other current fees to be retained. This would reduce the 6 categories of licence to 3, making the old A, B and C classes the equivalent of the present categories 1, 2 and 3. The Hams are also proposing to eliminate the minimum age for category 3. The long list goes on to request the granting of call sign reassignment subject to the availability of prefixes and suffixes, and that CU1 and CU9 prefixes should be reassigned to the Azores. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Other license changes are happening, this time in Australia. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, fills us in.
The News West broadcast team in Western Australia have alerted that amateurs holding a license in Australia, which was obtained under a reciprocal licensing arrangement, have now had their license term shortened to 1 year, and they are no longer automatically renewable. The ACMA, Australia's national regulator's action, impacts the apparatus licence for hams wishing to operate in Australia for more than 3 months, but has no impact on the three-month allowance given to operators on holiday in Australia operating under the SEPT agreement. The ACMA states on their website that they now require holders of any licence issued under a reciprocal agreement to sit their amateur operator's certificate of proficiency, AOCP, examination before their licences can become annually renewable. The examination is taken through the Australian Maritime College at a cost of $90. A link to additional details about the changes can be found in the text edition of this report on arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In New Zealand, the military is relying more than ever before on HF radio. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has that report.
Underscoring his faith in the reliability of HF radio communications, Ron Mark, the Defence Minister of New Zealand, has announced that the engineering company Babcock New Zealand Limited will be replacing the HF radio capability of the New Zealand Defence Force. The official's announcement was an acknowledgement of HF radio's ability to provide coverage when conventional communications do not work and in areas unreachable by satellites. The infrastructure to be replaced was installed in the 1980s and is now outdated, he said. He expects it to be in place by August of 2023. The capital cost of $26.6 million is being funded from existing defence budgets. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The U.S. Army is rethinking its use of radios. Stephen Kinford, N8WB, has that story.
The United States Army has asked Congress to approve $3 billion to pay for tactical network radios that will enable more secure battlefield communications. The radios are expected to be a combination of handhelds and manpack radios, and they would be acquired during the next 4 years. According to a report in C4ISRNet, the radios are one part of the Army's overhaul of its battlefield network, which is a five-year project expected to cost $9.6 billion. The radios include a two-channel leader radio and a rifleman radio, secured from the primary contractors L3 Harris and Thales. The manpack radios are being secured from primary contractors L3 Harris and Collins Aerospace. According to budget documents quoted in C4ISRNet report, the Army plans a test of two-channel radio technologies, but will also evaluate use of single-channel radios that make use of advanced networking waveforms. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
In the world of DX, be listening for David F8AAN on Rodriguez Island, where he is operating as 3B9AN, until the 19th of March. He will operate CW only on 80 through 17 meters, QSL via club log, OQRS. Be listening for Nigel, G3TXF in Mauritius. He is on the air until the 27th of March using the call sign 3B8XF. You can also hear him during the RSGB Commonwealth Contest or Beru Contest on the 14th and 15th of March. He will focus on 80 meters and 160 meters until the end of his stay. QSLs go via club log OQRS, and logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. Sven, HB9DXB, will be on the air from Vietnam through March using the call sign XV9DXB. QSL manager is EB7DX. Finally, we offer our listeners a little perspective. If you've ever had antenna work knock you off the air completely for a couple of days or even weeks, you're actually in very good company. Mike Askins, KE5CXP, picks up the story from here.
What do you do when your antenna needs a critical upgrade? Well, you go off the air, of course, until things are back in fine order. That's true whether you're an extra-class licensee in the United States struggling with a 40-meter dipole, or if you're NASA's Voyager 2 traveling and more than 11 billion miles from Earth. The space probe's main means of communication is a 70-meter ground station dish antenna based in Canberra, Australia, that sends it commands. According to a report in phys.org, parts of that 48-year-old antenna, including transmitters, need upgrades that will likely not be completed until January of 2021. The upgrades are intended to reduce the risk of unplanned outages of this aging equipment. No worries, though. The article said it will still be possible to receive some scientific data from Voyager 2 while all this is going on. Three 34-meter antennas in Canberra will be configured so they can receive the probe signal. That's important. Voyager 2 was launched in 1977 and is on a mission to tell us more about deep space beyond the outermost edge of the solar system. Still, next time you spend an afternoon troubleshooting your Yagi or trying to restore your Delta Loop to its former glory, remember that your mission isn't quite as complex as the one facing Voyager 2. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
With thanks to the ACMA, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, David Behar, K7DB, Dev Discourse, John Wells, W4CMH, Let's Go to Space.com, Mel Granick, KS2G, Military and Aerospace Electronics, NewsWest, VK6ARN, Fizz.org, The Radio Society of Great Britain, shortwaveradio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Udaya Patil, VU2, UPQ, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address, newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020. All rights reserved.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. One of the things I love most about this hobby is the ability to randomly dart off into any related direction and learn new stuff. For example, the names Nicola, Guglielmo, Heinrich and Edwin emblazoned on a t-shirt sent to me by a very appreciative listener, Jack, Kilo India 4, Kilo Echo Papa, started an exploration into the deeds and misdeeds of the people behind those names. The first three might be somewhat familiar. Nikola Tesla, whom we have to thank for inventions like alternating current, the Tesla coil, wireless power, radio remote control, and many others. The Tesla company is named as a tribute to him. The magnetic flux density uses the letter T as its symbol, and it's called the Tesla. As a side note, if you've ever struggled to decide if a symbol needs to be a capital letter or not, like say the V for volt, the A for ampere, the O for ohm, the M for meter, the S in second, or the K in Kelvin, you just need to remember that if the unit is named after a person, the symbol needs to be a capital letter. That does assume that you know that the unit is named after an actual person, like say the Earl of Sandwich. Name two in our list, Guglielmo Marconi, is the person whom we can thank for the practical development of radio communication, using improved spark gap transmitters, the development and commercialization of long-distance radio transmissions, and his association with many other services, such as a transatlantic radio telegraph service providing communications to shipping, such as Jack Phillips and Harold Bride, who were employed by the Marconi International Marine Communications Company to act as radio operators on the RMS Titanic on its fateful voyage. Our third name, Heinrich, comes into sharp focus when I add his surname, Hertz. His name continues on in our day-to-day language, and Heinrich Hertz is responsible for validating many of the underlying principles of our hobby. Using a spark gap transmitter, he was the first to conclusively prove the existence of electromagnetic waves, which were predicted by James Clerk Maxwell. He also came up with the parabolic antenna, the dipole antenna, measurement of electric field intensity, electromagnetic waves, and many other experiments. If you've ever seen a bullet hole in glass, you've seen a Hertzian cone. The last name had me stumped. It took a question to learn that Edwin shares a name with a famous cyclist and a famous astronaut, namely Armstrong. Edwin Howard Armstrong has been called the most prolific and influential inventor in radio history. If you're like me, you may not have heard of Edwin Armstrong. You might be surprised to learn that he's responsible for the regenerative circuit, the superheterodyne circuit, and while he was working on defending his invention against a claim made by a patent attorney, he stumbled on the super regeneration circuit. If you're a radio amateur, you'll likely have heard those terms. If not, they're electronic circuits that make radio receivers more sensitive, which forms the basis of many radios in use today. My Yaesu FT857D is a superheterodyne radio, for example. It doesn't stop there. The biggest claim to fame that Edwin Armstrong brings to the table is the invention of FM radio. It took many years and a protracted lawsuit that lasted until almost a year after he died to finally have Armstrong formally established as the inventor of FM. Not for a minute will I suggest that my exploration was comprehensive or in depth, but it made my day when I put on a t-shirt with the names of those inventors who made it possible for me to be here and share this with you today. On the shoulders of giants wearing a t-shirt with their names, I stand. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, March 13th. The 2020 International DX Convention, which was to be held April 24th through 26th in Visalia, California, has been canceled. The convention co-chairs posted this message on March 10th, quote, "We send out our apologies to all our prospective patrons of the 2020 International DX Convention. Due to concerns of health and well-being of our amateur radio family, with our age group and possible compromised health issues, we are taking the side of safety and canceling the convention. Even though the percentage of COVID-19 is low, there are persons who have the illness but in mild form and have not seen a physician. It only takes one person to pass the virus to a person with a compromised illness. We will be in close proximity of each other, and yes, the timing is bad, but all of your lives and families are more important. We will be refunding everyone's reservation funds and shirt request funds. We appreciate your support and patience while we proceed with sending refunds back to each person," unquote. Communications Academy 2020, due to be held in Seattle April 24th through the 25th, has also been canceled. Those who have already registered will automatically receive a full refund. The ARRL Public Relations Committee invites nominations for the Philip J. McGann Memorial Silver Antenna Award, presented annually to a radio amateur who has demonstrated success in public relations efforts on behalf of amateur radio and who best exemplifies the volunteer spirit of the late Philip McGann, WA2MBQ. Activities for which the McGann Award is presented include those specifically directed at bringing amateur radio to the media's and the public's attention in a positive light. This may include such traditional methods as news releases or interviews, or less traditional methods such as hosting a radio show or being an active public speaker. Eligible nominees must be full ARRL members in good standing at the time of nomination. Nominations must be received at ARRL headquarters by the close of business on Friday, May 15th, 2020. Nominations must be on an official entry form, which you'll find at www.arrl.org/PHIL-MCGAN-AWARD. The latest episode of the ARRL On the Air podcast is now available, and it focuses on how to calculate feed line loss, real-world examples of how digital and analog FM transceivers handle weak signals, and an interview with Rob Macedo, KD1CY, the Eastern Massachusetts Ares Section Emergency Coordinator and Skywarn Coordinator for the National Weather Service Boston Norton office. Rob offers information about how hams can get involved with Skywarn. The latest episode of ARRL's Eclectic Tech podcast has also debuted. It includes an interview with JS8 call creator Jason Shearer, KN4CRD, revisits SSTV, and has a discussion of arc fault circuit breakers with Bob Allison, WB1GCM. Both podcasts are available on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as on Blueberry. In DX news, starting this week, a group plans to operate from the British Virgin Islands and activate the VP2VB call sign of Yasmi fame for 6 days, focusing on the low bands with two stations. QSL via OH2BH. In other DX operations, listen for 3B8XF from Mauritius through the end of this month and S79EM in the Seychelles also through the end of the month. XV9DXB will be on the air from Vietnam until at least March 31st and possibly longer. You have about a week remaining to work 8Q7NC in the Maldives. He will be wrapping up his vacation operation on March 21st. If you've never contacted Easter Island, you have your chance starting March 20th when CE0Y/VE7ACN takes to the airwaves through March 30th. Andaman and Nicobar Island may be on the air March 20th through the 31st with a planned operation by VU4R. For special event operations this weekend, March 13th through the 16th, K5B will be on the air to commemorate the Bataan Death March that took place during World War II. Starting March 16th and continuing through the 22nd, listen for the following stations as they celebrate the main bicentennial. W1L, K1B, K1J, K1P, W1C, W1H, W1K, W1L, W1O, W1P, W1S, W1W, and W1Y. For complete details, see page 82 in the April issue of QST Magazine.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
We have just learned that AMSAT's last Fox Generation satellite, Fox 1E or RADFXSAT-2, will launch in the second quarter of 2020. We look forward to another satellite joining the long line of operational satellites before it. Stay tuned for further updates as they become available. Every now and then, a satellite goes silent. For whatever reason, IHU failure, battery failure, solar panel failure, something causes the satellite to fail. We have not heard from XW2D in some time. Well, it is back and works as good as ever. This is a linear bird, and the uplink is lower sideband, 435.210 MHz to 435.230 MHz. The downlink is upper sideband, 145.860 MHz to 145.880 MHz. If you have previously worked the XW family of satellites, you will have no problem working this one. PSAT-3 launch has been canceled, only 4 days away from launch. This was to be on the second launch of a rocket that was in the DARPA Launch Challenge, whereby the challenge and $10 million prize was for any launch provider to launch a rocket with only 30 days' notice of what payloads they would have and then do it again 30 days later. At T-9, the plug was pulled. It happens, and PSAT-3 is looking for a new ride. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
This is the ARRL Audio News propagation forecast for Friday, March 13th. Once again, the sun is almost eerily quiet. No spots and no significant solar winds. The lack of activity will make it tough for contacts on the higher HF bands, but as we reported last week, the low bands are in excellent shape. Amateurs are reporting ideal conditions on 160, 80, and 60 meters in particular. On VHF and UHF, be on the lookout for band openings in the week to come on 2 meters and up if you live in southern Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Alabama.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.
Now you can discover the mysteries of ham radio. Using modern transceivers, you can make friends all over the world, even talk to astronauts in space, ships on the high seas, and flying aircraft thousands of miles away. Unlike phone users, ham radio operators talk absolutely free and provide vital communications during disasters or emergencies. And remember, unlike the internet, we crisscross the entire globe wirelessly.
I'm Peter John in English Media. Title music is by Croatian artist Blasco and is published under Creative Commons. You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net, DM is for Daily Minutes, and on several other platforms. De internetfaciliteiten en studio hardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl. 70MHzShop.nl.
Daily Minutes Podcast. Whoever hears this is crazy.
En microfoon naar retour.